A lot of sports again. We're ODing on these sports. One league just ended, though, so we'll talk about that. And how the biggest Lakers fan in the building. Overall reaction to the finals. We'll get into all that. Football, all sorts of stuff on the way. So with no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's start the show.
Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that? Man, we talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. We are talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I am your host, Jarrell. Alongside me, as always, my partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isamaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
And of course, we got the lanky legend himself, the long snapper, John Lucan.
What's going on? Hey. I don't know. I just, I don't know. I panicked. I haven't been here in a while, you know?
Well, welcome back, sir. Yeah, we got a lot to get into. We got baseball playoffs going on right now. The French Open just wrapped. We're going to have a foreign correspondent on in a little bit to talk about that. I got a hate on the current climate of some things today. That should be some fun. Of course, we're going to get into the NFL, Dax Leg, all that kind of stuff. But first, we start with hoops. We crowned a champion last night, ladies and gentlemen. The Lakers. They won again. It's been 10 years since they've won a finals. Obviously, that we're going back to that 2010 championship. Kobe's last championship against the Celtics. Now we follow that up with LeBron, Anthony Davis winning his first, LeBron winning his fourth in 10 attempts. And so this is where we are. The Lakers win in the bubble. They win this championship. I say no asterisk. They deserved it. They were clearly one of the best teams in the league, if not the best team. They proved at the end of the season to come out on top. Obviously, they didn't get that showdown with the Clippers that we're all looking forward to. But they did get a hoist the Larry O'Brien. And we talked about it briefly last week. But now that we have Derek back here and we have the results in, I just asked Derek off air if he watched the game last night. And your response to that was what again, sir?
I did not, no. I didn't really watch much of this season series whatsoever. So, yeah.
Okay, so for our listeners who may not have heard last week, again, Derek is from the greater Los Angeles area. He is a Dodgers. He's all L.A., essentially. Well, Dodgers, Lakers, and then Carolina Panthers, inexplicably. You just had no interest. Can you share with the listeners kind of why this run with your Lakers wasn't for you?
Well, lately my interest in basketball has certainly gone down quite a bit. I've got other things I'd rather watch than basketball, you know? And then at the same time, like the Lakers, that's obviously my team from L.A., been, you know, raised watching them. Just not a LeBron fan, though. Like, obviously a great player. Probably the best my eyes have probably ever seen, even with Kobe Bryant in the mix. And obviously he's a great dude in terms of, you know, great husband, great father, blah, blah, blah. Just don't like the guy. I think he's just a grade A loser in terms of just like dweebiness. You know, he's got this very childish immaturity about him when it comes to his social media and the way I feel he handles a lot of his. He's very petty in his way, and I just don't like that. I hate that about him, actually. I've hated it for a very long time. And I just kind of hated the fact that he came to Lakers and we had to ride him to a championship. So when he came on, I was like, yeah, hey, the Lakers did what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to get the top free agent talent. That's LeBron James. They get out and got AD, the next top free agent talent. They're doing what they're doing. you know, hey, AD, great, fine. But like I said, just after that started happening, it's nice to see them. But I, you know, probably will never, ever rock this. I'll never rock an Laker championship in, like, in terms of the way I used to rock it with Kobe and whatnot and with them back then. It's a, hey, LA, the Lakers got a championship. Good for them.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, to piggyback a little bit, I always feel like LeBron always has an agenda for something other than basketball. Like, he, I mean, great business guy, but always looking like three steps down the road. And, yeah, like, I just feel kind of, you know, his championship last night with his, you know, speech, I feel like was just still pandering to, oh, you know, let's debate, you know, let's leave it up for the critics to debate me and Michael now. And, like, it's like, no, just stop. Just be stoked on the championship and, you know, celebrate with your teammates. Stop being so,
yeah,
agenda riddled.
His greatness is undeniable. I mean, I think Derek just alluded to it, saying that he might be the greatest player that Derek's ever witnessed. And I really don't want to have the tired argument of MJ versus LeBron. We can do that if you guys want later on. But overall, I agree with both your points. He is petty, but so is Kobe in a lot of ways. But Kobe was your petty.
But the thing was, Kobe didn't have the social media petty, and the social petty is really what despises the most about it. Like, no doubt, I mean, and Kobe wasn't so much as petty as he was just an ass. You know, he was a hard ass. You know, and he obviously tried to emulate Jordan in so many ways. Obviously, mm-hmm. he was the man when he came into the league. And I mean, there is, you know, a new book that just came out that's talking about how pretty much when he came in, he was Jordan. Emulate everything he did. And one of those things is being a hard ass to your teammates and whatnot. And he did a good job of keeping a lot of them at a very arm's distance, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy didn't even have any of his teammates at his wedding, you know.
Yeah.
That's going to show you anything right there. The guy had an agenda, which was basketball. That's the thing, though. Kobe's agenda was just basketball. I'm going to be the best basketball player possible. And I'm not going to try to force people to debate it. I'm just going to go out there and do it. Yeah. I'm going to cut night short. I'm not going to hang out with my teammates. I'm not going to go out to the clubs. I'm going to wake up early every morning. I'm going to play basketball. While LeBron is like, I just want people to know how good I am. You know, it's like, just go out there and play basketball. Like, if you want to be known as good, you be out there and playing basketball. But he just got to whine about it. And it's like, just, you know. Stop
also,
it.
I mean, like, the cliche is, you know, you don't really start the playoffs until you lose a home game, or until the team loses, sure, or until a team loses a home game. And I mean, it's a little watered down in my opinion. You know, you didn't have those crucial games where you had, you know, down 12 at half or down 7 at half on the road in Miami, having to deal with those fans. It's, you know, hats off. It's a championship, but I think it would have been, I think this entire playoff series, not only the finals, but the entire bubble itself, would be dramatically different as far as teams and who's making it if we could see home court advantage.
Well, you would imagine it would have been harder for the Nuggets to come back from down 3-1 and two series back-to-back if they had to travel and all that.
Exactly.
I would say, let's stay with the bubble for a second, because this was a giant success. No matter how you break it down, the fact that, I mean, we talked about, are we even going to have a season? And then how are we even going to get through the playoffs? We know there's going to be some outbreaks. We didn't have one.
Not one.
We had a couple incidents of players having to get sent home. What was it, Daniel House on the Rockets sneaking in a woman into the bubble when he was married? Probably not the best look. But, yeah, the NBA did a hell of a job. At least executing the end of the season. And we all said it's not as important if the NBA starts, but that they finish. And they did, I mean, they did a hell of a job. I do want to ask you, Derek, do you think your fandom in basketball is waning for a specific reason? Is it because you're not as interested in the Lakers because they have or because they have LeBron now? Is it because of the bubble, or is it simply because there's so much else going on right now?
LeBron obviously detracted from me for liking the Lakers just because, again, respect the dude. Probably, again, best guy I've ever seen play basketball live in person. I never did get to see Kobe play in person, but I've seen LeBron James play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, the fact that he came onto my team, it's just, why do we have to do that? But we had to do it. The Lakers do what they do. So that's part of it. And then obviously, like I said, it's just other things going on. Like, I'm much more of a soccer head more than anything else now.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch that. And I do. My Sundays are watching, you know, football, my football, you know.
Yeah.
And Saturdays and Fridays too. And Mondays as well. So, like I said, the whole weekend is filled with just my football. So, you know. It's easy enough to just to bypass it, you know.
Gotcha.
It just falls through the cracks at this point in time, and my life doesn't want to fill those cracks anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, like, we talked about it off air, you know, seeing the viewership from Sunday Night Football last night at almost 12 million viewers to the Game 6 finals, which was, you know, 5.6 million around there. I just think, like you said, there's so many more things going on right now that we're not used to seeing football and basketball being played kind of at these peaks, or even baseball play. You know, so there's all these different kind of sports organizations that are having to, you know, start their seasons later or whatever it may be. Right. But it's just, yeah, I feel like as far as sports goes, I'm with Derek. I'm not, you know, basketball's not my number one. So it's, you know, it's Sundays hard to compete. And Saturdays.
It's kind of hard to compete when you got Black Panther on and Prisoner of Azkaban on, you know. It's like, yo, I can go between those two and I'm totally satisfied with
Touche.
Yeah, you know.
I'm more of a Goblet of Fire myself, but
I mean, you know, got good movie, no doubt, but the best book was Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great. I mean, honestly, it revealed one of my favorite characters of all time in Sirius Black, so, you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
you know, Prisoner of Azkaban.
Okay.
He was in number four, too, though.
Yeah, I mean, he was until he died in five, R.I.P.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert,
Order of the Phoenix.
All of you out there who don't know how Harry Potter goes.
That is the best movie, Order of the Phoenix.
Order of the Phoenix, you think it's the best one?
Order of the Phoenix.
Really?
Yeah. It's where Harry gets a little dark.
I appreciate, no doubt, I like dark Harry. You know, it's always nice when he goes down that road. But I feel there's something, I feel Prisoner of Azkaban is that lead into that dark world of Harry Potter. You know?
Yeah, yeah. No longer a kid.
I mean, the Dementors, come on.
Yeah,
the Dementors come around. The Dementors are pretty badass, you know, in that scene where he, like, fights them all off.
That's when the series, like, grew up a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know?
Hermione
got really attractive in that one, too. Like, ooh, okay.
Don't
start
me with Hermione.
I mean, I'm just saying, the first two, it was like, okay, she's just that girl in your class. Now it's like, whoa, she's that girl in your class.
All right.
Amen.
I do want to talk about the ratings for a second, because I've heard the tired argument that the ratings are down because of all the social justice stuff. And I simply don't agree with that, because NFL is also doing a heavy social justice movement. Even though they don't have Black Lives Matter on the court, they do have It Takes All of Us, talking about ending racism in the end zones on the field. They do have a lot of social justice commercials. The players are allowed to put social justice messages on the back of their helmet. I think it's a few things, like we talked about. There's a lot going on. So for your average sports fan, for someone like Derek, who might not have all soccer leagues going on at the same time and NBA playoffs, now you have all of that, because we're trying to stuff all, you know, make up for lost time and make up for lost dollars. So someone like Derek, who might be more inclined to watch NBA if it's only going up head-to-head with baseball, now you have distractions. People who are serious football fans, whether it's college or NFL or both, you might be more inclined to watch a finals game when those sports aren't going on. But if you've been sitting around, you know, and you were watching Red Zone from 10 a.m., you know, Pacific Standard Time, by the time 4:30 gets here, you might not be very inclined to wanting to flip over and watch basketball unless you have a rooting interest. And beyond that, we're simply not consuming things the way we used to. The NBA has always traditionally been a younger league, so a lot of people are just streaming them. You know,
it would be interesting to see what those streaming numbers are, because you got to think, I mean, 5 million viewers, there's more than 5 million people in LA alone. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
So, like, obviously not everyone in LA is going to watch it, but you think you're going to get at least half of the people in LA are going to be tuning in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got Miami as well. But yeah, it would be interesting to see what the streaming numbers were on that. But obviously, they don't care about that, because they don't get money from it.
Right, and the ratings, obviously, if you get Boston Celtics and you get a traditional matchup like that, I think the ratings are going to be a lot higher. But you have a team that lacks star power. I mean, Jimmy Buckets came to play, but he doesn't really move the needle for your casual fan.
I think that was a problem, too. I mean, there's nobody in the East that's really going to move that needle, though. I mean, if the Heat can't do it, you mean the Bucks are going to do it, too? No. Like, the Heat...
No.
Yeah, I mean, the Heat...
Yeah, I think the Heat had a better storyline than if the Bucks would have.
Yeah, I think the one storyline that would have helped the NBA is Boston getting through. Just because Lakers, history, Boston, Kobe passed. Like, I think you would drum up more... Your casual viewer, but...
I mean, the media could easily play that one so much easier than Miami,
for sure.
So, like, that buildup alone would just entice people to, oh man,
And it's not like LeBron went straight from Miami to LA, where there's still that that whole storyline going on. It had been, what, 6 years, and he's already won a championship for another team.
Yeah.
I love how on the broadcast last night, I don't know if you guys saw that. Well, I know Derek didn't, but they said LeBron is the first person to win 3 championships for 3 different teams. One, he's not even the first person to do that on his team, because Danny Green also did it. So first, they're both the first to do it in this generation.
I mean, he's the first one to lead 3 different teams.
Yeah.
He led them all legitimately. Danny Green, poster boy. Whereas Robert Horry, too, was he?
Yeah.
He's got 3 different.
Yeah.
Teams. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got Houston, he's got LA, and he got the Spurs, right?
That's correct.
Oh,
yeah.
He did get a Spurs.
Yeah. So he's got 3 himself. But again, just a role player.
Yeah.
But an important one. I thought you got to be there, no doubt. So shouts to Danny Green for, you know. And also, I do want to say, this is another reason why a certain amount of my baseball love has gone away, is because hearing the stupidity of fans out there and hearing stupid fans out there really distracts me from wanting to watch it, because it's like, I don't want to be around this stupidity. And when I hear the stupidity of fans right now threatening Danny Green, just him, his wife's life, because he missed a wide open shot. All
right? Ridiculous.
It's like, you all deserve a special place in hell, and I'll see you there.
Yeah, that's fair. That is so uncalled for and ridiculous. The man missed an open shot. It happens.
And not to mention, he hasn't played well this entire series, so it's not like, oh my God, he's been making everything and now you blow it. It's like,
He didn't choke. Yeah. He was cold all series long, so.
I mean, probably not going to be on the Lakers roster next season.
Probably not.
You know, you lost your spot with that missed shot, but you don't deserve to die.
Or at least your wife doesn't.
Okay, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't
She's allowed another chance at life, okay? You know.
That's fair. We'll ask your sister if she got a chance to watch Hoops when she comes on, but let's move on for now. The talking point that everyone is discussing today in the sports landscape was that gruesome injury to Dak Prescott, absolutely snapping his ankle. Oh my God, that was gross.
Compound.
Is that why the red rifle was in there?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Compound fracture and dislocated.
I mean, I heard something. He got hurt. I didn't know he was that bad. Wow.
Do you remember a few years ago the Louisville basketball player?
Yeah.
And it just.
I mean, I know what a compound. I'm glad I didn't see it. I don't need to see it to know what that was.
He literally. It was like picked up his leg and it was.
Yeah,
just
he
hanging.
Lifted his leg and his foot was going the other way. Super. It was gross.
Oh, it was bad.
But I will say, there's something special for me, I feel, to see the red rifle taking the Cowboys down the field. There's something special about that.
He looks way better.
I feel like he deserves to be on that team. Like, they're built for each other. So, I'm sorry for Dak, but it was just the Lord's way of saying,
I'm interested really to see what happens with Dak. Just, I mean, this obviously being such a gruesome injury, we saw what happened with Teddy Bridgewater when he had a non-contact, you know, with his knee. But,
I mean, the one you got to look at right away, Alex Smith, you just got into the game for the first time
in
2 years.
I'm saying in the sense that Dak Prescott is a year, I mean, he's franchise tagged this year. He's a year away from getting probably the top money for a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. That's right. He didn't get that.
He didn't get the contract.
Yeah,
so now, what do you do? As Jerry Jones, do you take care of the guy that has, you know, sold you tickets?
Nothing for you?
I mean, he's
you're as good as your last victory.
In
when
a
was
sense
that
a championship?
For
yeah, but
I would put him in that second tier of quarterbacks.
No doubt, you want him around. He's good, he's athletic.
But are we going to see a Teddy Bridgewater or an RG3 type where it's everyone's afraid, or even Cam Newton? Look at Cam Newton this year. You know, Cam Newton has been an MVP, but based off his injuries the last couple years, he got a league minimum. You know, are we going to see Dak Prescott in his prime not get his, you know, his due?
Yeah, I mean, he could have cost himself a lot of money with that injury, which seems unfair. But he also, I think that's why so many people felt for him, because he bet on himself and didn't take the offer and got tagged and was planning on, you know, showing out this year. And overall, he was playing really well.
Yeah.
And now
the
we'll
team
see.
Really wasn't, but he was.
Well, their defense is trash.
It's terrible.
Awful.
Yeah, they can't stop anything. Let's move on to my San Francisco 49ers.
I did see that
the
score.
The fish. Wow. The fish. You lost to a fish, dude.
It's actually a mammal. That's actually not a fish.
Yeah, that's true.
Dolphins aren't fish.
I know, but that's just the slang term for the Dolphins, like the sea chickens for the Seahawks. Right, just
in any case,
I think the team would be the Finns. Actually, I think that's what you're looking for. You lost to the Finns, not to the fish.
You know what? Go watch soccer.
If it was on, I would.
Jimmy Garoppolo throws three interceptions in the first half.
He got benched.
And gets benched for C.J. Beathard.
I love how they came out and said that we're benching him because of, you know,
to protect him from himself.
To protect injury. He's already kind of nursing a little bit. No. You were
awful. No, he was poop. He was poop. And I don't think that injury had anything to do with his just inability to throw an accurate ball yesterday. He looked terrible. He looked like he was confused. One of his interceptions, I was sitting there just confused on who he was even throwing to, because there was there wasn't like a niner in the building. It basically was one of those balls where they it looked like a pop-up fly, you know, where like they're calling each other off, like, I got it. It was tough, man. So the Niners still don't have a franchise quarterback, even though we spent $100 million on one. Oh, man. The Dolphins.
Do you guys make the playoffs this year?
Hmm?
Do you guys make the playoffs? Does the Niners
No.
make the playoffs?
Yeah, it's tough. I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, that division, too.
Especially, yeah.
And you lose two in a row at home to sub-500 teams.
Didn't you guys lose to the Cardinals already?
Or we lost to the Cardinals in week one, and then we lost back-to-back
games.
But
the Cardinals are legit.
The Cardinals are
good, but
you've got to keep pace
division.
With them.
Yeah. You got a division with the Seahawks and the Rams as well.
We have not played the Seahawks yet. I just don't see it. We're too injured, and you can't. I don't think with all these injuries you could leave it on the shoulders of someone like Jimmy G, who, once again, I'll remind you, threw an interception with his eyes closed in the Super Bowl. So, more pain and heartache.
Those good looks are not helping you out anymore, my man.
They really aren't. Yeah, they really are.
You're a diamond-covered turd right now, brother. Still a turd.
A diamond-covered turd. I like that. Speaking of diamond-colored turds, the Raiders, are they good?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a tough one.
I really don't know. I think they're obviously better than they were last year. Are they a good team? They did just hand Patrick Mahomes his first loss and at home in quite a while. But I just don't. I just hesitate to call them a good team.
Well, and it's like I think week one or week two when they played the Saints New Orleans. You know, everyone had this idea of who the Saints were going to be this year, and they kind of haven't really panned out as that prolific team. So I was kind of on the fence, and then the very next week they get blown out by the Patriots. You know, so it's like you never know truly what you're going to get with the Raiders. You can't, you know, almost like the Falcons. You can't trust them.
Yeah, no, you really can't, but they look improved. They look decent. So we'll see. Also, are the Browns good?
4-1.
I mean, I think they're. I think so.
You think they are?
I mean, that division right now that they're in, I feel that they have not much of a chance. But
well, I mean, they have the Ravens. Steelers are decent.
Yeah. So I was gonna say, I don't think they have much of a chance in that division because the Ravens are probably gonna be taking it.
Yeah.
The Steelers look like they're pretty good. Once again, Ben Roethlisberger doing what he does. And he's got a nice little target to throw to, apparently. But they look, I mean, if they give themselves a winning season, I think that's all Cleveland can ever ask for the rest of their life. Like, they shouldn't have to ask for more. As long as you get a winning season, you should just be happy with that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I mean, they have the talent. They have the talent, definitely. It's. I think it's just like the Niners with the AFC or the NFC West. You know, it's going to come down to their division play. And you know, obviously, I think we all agree that the Ravens are going to take that division. But you have two games against the Steelers. If you can split those games and then, you know, sweep the Bengals.
Do you think the State Farm that Baker Mayfield does commercials for?
Yes.
Or Farmers, one of them, State Farm. Do you think they're mad that they got him so early on? They're like, yeah, let's get this guy because he's going to be the next big thing and like put him in all our national commercials. And now they're like, God, he's crap. Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to be
taken. Well, I mean, he's actually having a pretty good season.
Mayfield's playing pretty.
He's playing pretty well.
I don't know. I think in terms of quarterbacks you'd rather have as the face of your company.
Right.
He's not going to be
there. Well, here's the thing. Young, talented, upper echelon white quarterbacks are kind of rare right now. You have
Josh Allen. Well, I mean, upper echelon quarterbacks in particular, tough to find anyway.
Yeah.
You've got, like I said, Tom Brady taken already. I don't think what does he even do? He just says Uggs, I think. Is that the only thing he does?
He kisses his son on the mouth, though.
While wearing Uggs.
Gross.
So, you know.
Tom Brady forgot what down it was on Thursday Night Football.
Shout out to I don't know who tweeted this out, but shout out to one of the ESPN analysts that the TV picked up Tom Brady yelling at his offensive line after he got sacked, and you can clearly see him say some F-bombs, and the tweet just says, "Hey, do you kiss your son with that mouth?"
Oh, that's fire!
It was great.
That's fire.
The answer is yes, he does.
Yeah. Speaking of poop teams with good records, the Bears are 4-1, okay? And they have a +5 point differential, which is nearly impossible. You've won 4 games by a combined 5 points. How is that possible?
I mean, you got
grit.
Big Dick Cheney Nick over there, right?
Yeah.
He's the one that's slinging it, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what you get.
I guess so. That seems impossible to me.
Barely above par, but still slaying it. You know,
did we look into Tom Brady not shaking his hand? I get that it's COVID going on and people want to have their distance, but this is now the second time that Nick Foles has beat Tom Brady. One, obviously, being the Super Bowl. Mm. Tom Brady has never come out to midfield and shaking his hand and congratulate or anything.
He doesn't deserve it.
Is there a rivalry?
I'm just saying, probably in the pants department.
Okay.
Tom feels inadequate, so he doesn't go out there.
All right. Well, let's talk more about football specifically. Let's talk about some money.
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man? You know my name, now give me my money.
All right. The season is really just a roller coaster. You know, I'm chalking it up to 2020 and COVID. I've had a lot of ups and downs so far.
If you could go 20-20 this season, you'd be happy, wouldn't you?
I would be ecstatic. I think I have already placed over 40 bets, and I'm not 20-20. I'll tell you that right now. Mm. And it's on the downside of that. Yeah. Tonight, we got a lock. And when I say that, I'm being ironic because it's not looking great. Saints, -6.5. Over 49.
You just used the L word.
Yeah, I know. I just said I was being ironic.
Mm, gotcha. I missed that part.
Because
sorry.
The score currently in the second quarter is 6-3. Great. Chargers. Not looking good, boys. Not looking good. But you know what is looking good? Florida college football. Governor came out a few days ago and saying that they will be at full capacity for college football games in Florida from here on out. So for you bettors out there, those Florida teams are going to have a huge, huge advantage. So let's start taking Florida teams. I'm going to. This week I got Florida, -10. And then we're going into Texas. SMU has covered every single spread this year. SMU is my team. I was on their wagon to start the season.
You know they're not in Florida.
I know. Okay. As I said, we're going to jump over to Texas. Okay. Right. I know my college teams, dude. But they don't play in Florida this year.
What's their mascot?
The Mustang, obviously. Okay. Please. Roger Craig. Shout out.
Craig Roberts? It wasn't Roger Craig. You talking about the running back for them?
Yeah.
Roger Craig didn't.
It's not Roger Craig. Was that Craig something?
It was Eric Dickerson and Roger Craig. Was it not?
It's not Roger Craig. It's Craig. I think it's Craig Roberts. Not Robert Craig's. I think it's Craig Roberts.
Mm. Eric Dickerson.
Eric Dickerson, no doubt. Yes, I know that. But I'm pretty sure it's Craig Roberts. I'm pretty sure his name is Craig.
Yeah, Roger Craig went to Nebraska.
Yeah, and Craig, look up Craig Roberts for me. I'm pretty sure it's okay. Craig Roberts.
I don't think it is.
You flip Fopperman over here, man.
I don't think it is. SMU running backs. Where's Brad when you need him?
Right? Seriously.
Come back, Brad.
But yeah, SMU. And also a surprise this year in college football, North Carolina. North Carolina University. University of North Carolina, Tar Heels, look great. Covering spreads, blowing teams out. but still haven't really hit the radar in Vegas sports books. So they're still getting minimal spreads. And they're easily handling those covers. So,
Craig James.
Craig James. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was close. That was Craig in there.
No, you got it
Craig
wrong.
James. He's an analyst. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like that guy.
I don't like that guy either.
Yeah. He's got a face I just want to slap.
Too. Yeah. I feel like.
Especially a voice, too, that when he talks, it's like just silencio, por favor.
Yeah.
I want to, like, sew his mouth up and just so he can never talk again.
And then. In a weird turn of events, one of the first times ever because of COVID, we are also going to have a football game in the NFL tomorrow on a Tuesday. We have the Titans against the Bills. -3.5 for the Bills. I'm taking that all day. Bills are legit. Look for them late in the playoffs this year.
He does have a very punchable face.
And when you hear him talk, too, it's just like,
yeah.
Bleh. Shut up.
Like, I feel like he's one of those parents that, like, lied and got their kid into school even though they didn't deserve it.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And that's Luke into the Futures.
Thank you, sir. All right. Well, my man Derek Isamaki will get you updated here in a minute with the news before we get to that. Just want to remind everyone, this is Talking About Practice. Jarrell, John, Derek in the building. Right here on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Want to thank one more sponsor before we get back to the show, and Derek gives you the news update. We want to thank Pullen Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Pullen's has been serving the Chico community since 1918 at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico, and they can be reached at 342-1055. Thanks again to North Rim Adventure Sports. Thank you to Pullen Cyclery. Again, we encourage all of our listeners to shop local. Now, Derek, with the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That's right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, if you're fans of the show, big-time fans of the show, and hear me complain half the time, most often than not, not most often, I complain about everything, so I can't say what I mostly complain about because there's so many things I do. But there's one thing in particular that really, truly is one of my gripes. Social media, never been a huge fan of it, especially the way people, what they post, how they share. It can be great, no doubt. Hilarity can ensue. Now, sometimes that hilarity ensues when someone's trying to be clever, cute, or funny, and it goes all right. And that's usually when the hilarity truly ensues. When somebody trying to be clever, trying to be funny, trying to be nice, blows up in their face. That is where I find my true happiness. Now, one of those milestones on social media that you have to broadcast to the world, you have to. Whether it be whatever is between your child's leg when they come out of your wife's womb, or that moment you get a ring around your finger forever and ever until you decide you don't like that person anymore and you're going to divorce them. Getting engaged. You got to let them know, hey, finally, got hitched, off the market, I'm not that weird, somebody actually does want me. And here's the ring to show it. Now, one of those things that people like to do on social media as well is involve their pets. In particular, their dogs. Their puppies that they love oh so much. So when this couple over in good old jolly England decides to, hey, announce to the world we're engaged, they decide, you know what? Let's put this ring on our dog like clever social media fiends. Well, unfortunately for them, when putting that said ring on the dog's nose, the dog's used to other things being put on his nose, usually things that he swallows up real quick. So as they're filming this historic moment of them finding ones for life, this dog decides to, hey, have a little snap at life, and snap! Down goes that engagement ring into the dog's mouth. Now, I'm going to safely assume that they probably were able to get the diamond out. Diamonds are
forever.
And they don't break. And I'm pretty sure a dog's stool wouldn't be able to compromise said diamond, other than the fact that you will know that it went through your dog's ass. And I hope that you can wear that ring with pride and joy every single time you look at it and just know your dog pooped out that ring. I wonder if they have to get a new one. Like, would she demand a new one? No, you couldn't. Like, I would say, hey, not my problem. It's still clean. It's called sanitizer. Bleach it, whatever. So care for y'all. When sharing the news, just make sure you're filming it. That's all I'm going to say. Because you never know what can happen. Now, once again, keeping it in the pet-friendly world right now because, hey, everyone loves a good pet story these days. And this one is a doozy. So when Claire Robson, once again, we're in England, taking her lab for a walk, this lab goes off running and finds what looks like a stick and is having a great time with that stick. But as Claire is filming, she realizes that stick isn't quite a stick so much as it is a dildo. So maybe it kind of was a stick. But either way, this dildo was in the dog's mouth as he comes running down the hill, and he can't get rid of it. He just loves it so much, having that dildo inside his mouth. He's just keeping it there. Now, Claire, obviously, being a little ashamed, but at the same time, can't help herself from laughing. Takes nearly 15 minutes to be able to get it away from the dog, but the dog doesn't want to let it go. She eventually has to put it in a ditch and bury it just to get rid of the dog's love for that dildo. So, thank goodness for Claire and keeping the camera rolling as well. And that dog for finding whatever smell was on that thing and led you to it. Good for you, bud.
Oh, man.
Good for you. All right, one last one. Our crappy parent of the week. There are a lot of you out there right now. Really are. Like, more often than not, you kind of got to think when someone's really bad, you just think, like, your parents were probably really terrible to you. And not, like, beating you or anything. Just, like, absent-minded, crappy parents, you know? This is what Holly Garcia is. A crappy parent. Now, Holly, it's going to start off really weird when I say the story because you're going to think, how heartless of you, Derek. But you'll know why I think Holly is a terrible person. Holly started a GoFundMe for her 4-year-old dead son who died of cancer. She was asking for roughly $5,000 to help pay for the funeral expenses. Now, that's admirable, except the fact that her son is not dead. And in fact, she actually gave up that son for adoption.
Oh my God.
And then decided to deceive people into giving them money.
Wow.
So, Holly Garcia.
We'll see you in hell.
You're a truly terrible person. Luckily for them, I mean, not for Holly, for her 4-year-old son, the parents that did adopt that son found pictures of their new son on the internet asking for money. It's like, this kid's not dead. He's living with us. So, obviously, alerting to the Burlington County officers over New Jersey, where they did arrest Miss Holly Garcia for being that crappy parent. That's the news, y'all. But before I do go, one last thing that just wanted to get it out there. Now, today, obviously, being October 12th, this Monday, is a day that we now celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day. Why? Because the day that we used to be Columbus Day is now frowned upon because we found Columbus to be a terrible person who did terrible things. But I'm going to take the other side and say, thank goodness for that man's bravery to cross over an ocean that no one wanted to cross because it was scary over there. Nobody knew what was over there. So what did he do? He took 3 ships and said, hey, I'm going to venture over there and hope I find a new land, which he did. And because of Columbus' brave acts of sailing over that ocean, we are here today. So rather you were a terrible person, did some terrible deeds, and did some raping and pillaging of your own, name me one country that didn't have its own raping and pillaging phase. Everyone did. So, again, I'm not justifying his acts. I'm just justifying the act. One act of sailing over the ocean and being brave enough to venture into the unknown. Because back at that point in time, we didn't know what was across the other side. They thought it was India, for God's sakes. But no. He took out the time and realized where he was. Well, he didn't realize it. It took somebody else, Amerigo Vespucci. Hence why we're named America, but either way. So while there are people out there will say, yes, we shouldn't celebrate Columbus Day because he did terrible things. Yeah, he did. He didn't do good things. But you know what? We can all thank him for what he did because we would not be here today without him. So happy Columbus Day, y'all. Rock on.
I feel like the Native Americans might have an issue with that.
Again, well, I'm just going to be saying, they don't like it, no doubt. But I'm just going to say, you don't think somebody else would have gone and come along and done it to them eventually? Like, that's what people do. They move around. They conquer people. People lose. All right? And you think that we have to be sympathetic because they lost back in the time, and I should feel bad. Like, oh, my gosh, I can't feel good about, like, what this person did. No, he did an a thing that was made for this country and got us to where we are right now and for the world in general. So he shaped it in a certain way. We can't change that shape, okay? It got where we are because of what he did. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Appreciate the news update. Oh, man. We now go to our foreign correspondent, Aaron. Hello, Aaron. Welcome. Thank you for joining the show, as always.
Always.
Let me ask you...
I'm assuming that every time you get complaints about Derek, it's from the news segment, right? That's mostly
where it's generated from, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, no, that's where it usually comes from. You nailed it.
Okay.
Let me ask you something. Your brother had no interest in watching the Lakers win yesterday. Did you take the time out to watch them win a championship last night?
I did, and a lot of Angelinos did too, and it was really cool because I happen to be in LA right now.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I loved it. It was great. I cannot tell you how happy I am. I think Derek is in the minority here. I think most Laker fans are pretty over the moon about it.
Okay. Well, we'll take it. He has admitted that he's a little preoccupied with soccer and doesn't really love LeBron, so it's nice to know that not all Laker fans feel that way, and you actually could take the time to appreciate what you guys have, which is the greatest player of our generation.
Absolutely. And I kind of get maybe that you don't like LeBron. He's not my favorite player, but you don't get to pick who plays for your team. You know,
yeah.
If your team is your team, and if LeBron has chosen to come to my team, you know, why am I not going to celebrate that? And you cannot deny his greatness. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So I'm pretty happy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we needed that energy. Probably should have called you at the top of the show. We appreciate it. So tell us, the French Open concluded this weekend. Tell us what happened. What did we miss? What do we need to know?
This was kind of a wild one. So Rafael Nadal won it for the men. He has now officially won 20 Grand Slams. He is tied with Roger Federer, who also has 20 Grand Slams. And so the conversation now kind of starts as who is the greatest of all time, since Federer and Nadal are now tied. But then Djokovic is right behind them with 17. Roger Federer is getting a little bit older, though. He's 39. How many more good years does he have? He's currently out because he's healing from a surgery. Nadal is 34, so still young, got some good years, and Djokovic is 33. He technically should have 18 because he would have won the U.S. Open had he not been DQ'd. So men's tennis is pretty interesting.
Who do you think is the best of the three?
You know what? I'm going to say Djokovic because he is the youngest, and I understand that, you know, any sort of professional sport, there's the potential for injury, but at 33 with 17 Grand Slams, he's got so much time, and Nadal and Federer are going to start to slow down pretty soon, so I think Djokovic has got the potential.
But you got to admit, though, Federer is probably the greatest tennis player ever.
I mean, let's not forget about Pete Sampras.
No,
all right?
Forgettable Pete Sampras compared to Roger Federer.
All right? Forgettable.
I feel like, yes, right now, Djokovic's probably the better one, but I feel like Roger Federer, over span of all of tennis, which I know very little about, he's the best.
Yeah, Derek's uneducated opinion is Federer is the best.
Yes. I mean, all my opinions are uneducated. That's, you know, goes without saying.
We appreciate that, Derek.
Oh, man. So what happened on the women's side? Catch us up there.
In the women's... This one was wild. A lot of, you know, Serena didn't play, Naomi Osaka didn't play. Simona Halep was out very early, so the field was wide open. And as it turned out, if you guys want to feel really bad about yourself, Iga Świątek of Poland, a 19-year-old, won it all. 19 years old.
19?
Yeah, yikes. 19.
And she's out of where? You said Poland, Sweden?
From Poland, yeah.
Poland.
She's the first Polish person to win a Grand Slam singles title.
I always find it weird that I feel like in the women's side, it's so much more of a toss-up. You know, the guys solidify. We're going to have three dudes in there, most likely. Federer, Nadal, yep. Djokovic. With the women, it's like, who are you again? I've never even heard of you yet. And they're all
Serena's, Serena's getting older, so it's becoming a little bit more open. Simona Halep has been number one for a few years, but she's not quite as exciting, I think, as Serena.
And Maria Sharapova just let us all down.
She really did.
Yeah.
That's she also got old, so.
But she was, like, younger than Serena, I'm pretty sure. She is. Not
you know,
was.
I'm
she
not
still is younger than Serena
you know.
Williams. So, I'll take a gander on that one.
What? All right. Moving on. So, I know you didn't watch much UFC this past weekend, but I sent you that clip, Aaron, and I don't even remember who the two gentlemen were that were fighting, but in one of the fights, my man caught the dude's leg in a kick, held on to his leg, and then the dude flipped around and kicked him with his opposite...
With his other foot,
knocking him out in a cartoonish way. What was your reaction when you saw that? Because to me, it did look like a cartoon. His eyes immediately rolled up in his head, and he just was frozen before he fell backwards.
Yeah, this was Joaquin Buckley versus Impa Karagane. It was funny because you have to watch it again and again and again to is this real? Did this happen? Because
yeah.
You're right. It is cartoonish. His move was incredible. His one leg was caught. So what does he do? He jumps, you know, spins around, kicks him in the head with his other foot. And he goes limp, but he's standing up and it takes him like a second to fall. He wobbles. It was wild. Absolutely wild. This is why you watch UFC. It was incredible.
That was incredible. All right. You got anything on your Dodgers before you get out of here?
Walker Buehler's not looking great, but I believe I'm hopeful. Just, you know, not optimistic.
Fair enough. All right, well,
too many years of being let down.
You're scarred, huh?
Absolutely.
All right. Good work as always. Thank you so much for joining us. We will chat with you next Monday.
Sounds good, guys.
All right. See ya. That was Aaron, our foreign correspondent, calling from LA this time, not Utah. Always appreciate her time. She always brings good stuff and informs us and comes with stats and facts, which is good because that's not something we usually use much of around here. Now that Statman Brad is working during the shows, we tend to just, you know, say stuff as facts and keep it pushing without looking it up ever. Kind of the way I like it.
Sounds like par for the course out there.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about your Dodgers. So, before we get into your Dodgers, I do want to say a quick rest in peace to Joe Morgan. Joe Morgan passed away this past weekend. And for me, Joe Morgan and John Miller, Sunday Night Baseball, that's kind of how I began really caring about baseball as a kid, was those Sunday night games. And that was, I mean, he was the voice of baseball. Him and John Miller, I think, for me, for my taste, was the greatest duo of baseball announcers. Obviously, there's been a lot of great ones. Vin Scully, obviously. But Joe Morgan just... There was something... When he was calling a game, it just seemed bigger. And I think that is the greatest testament to you as an analyst, is if you're on the game, does it seem like a bigger game? And he did that for me. I know, you know, his Reds days were way before I was here. So I just remembered him as an announcer. Do you guys, is that how you guys mainly remember him too?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
I don't think any of us were alive when he was playing.
No, okay, yeah, naturally. Bad question.
Yes. Let's not forget as well, he had a good run with the Giants as well. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like you said, just growing up, you know, listening to broadcast radio of him and John Miller. I mean, those voices kind of, like you said, got me intertwined into baseball and like made it. I mean, I still say it to this day. Those games I will put up against any, like, it doesn't matter if it was a playoff game, just a regular Tuesday night game. Those games, they kept it interesting, just with their banter back and forth,
yes,
all that kind of stuff. You listen to games now and it's so monotonous and dry. And Joe Morgan brought so much more to that.
Yeah, and they were so knowledgeable as well. And Joe Morgan kind of went by the wayside because We have turned sports over to the nerds with analytics. And I think one thing, we can bring up all these analytics, but one thing that nerds and dorks don't get about sports is there is something to be said for someone having simple drive and want to. And I think that that gets lost on the analytic dorks, is that what's inside of a guy's heart also matters. And I think they get so concerned with efficiency and all that stuff, which obviously absolutely matters. But there's certain dudes that just when the lights are brightest, step up. And I think, you know, Joe Morgan is one of those guys who could see that and break it down for you. And it was sad to kind of see once things got very number heavy and analytic heavy in baseball that he was kind of forgotten. I should, you know, kind of cast to the side and said, let's get some sports dorks in here. So rest in peace, Joe Morgan. But we do have baseball going on currently. The Astros move past, or the Rays move past the Yankees, and so it's Rays and Astros in the ALDS, or CS, I should say. And what was hilarious to me was George Springer going after the media. Did you guys see that?
I did not.
It was like, oh, all you guys want to talk about is us cheating. Now what? Look at us now. It's like, that's a weird victory lap to take. Y'all just got to 500 on the season. Okay, the only reason you're in the playoffs is because it was a shortened season, and we allowed more teams than ever to make the playoffs. And now you guys are down 0-2 to the Rays, so maybe...
It is annoying that they're just like, they keep wanting to... just accept your faults, my man. Take your lickings right now, all right? People aren't going to like you. They shouldn't like you. You all, you know, did some dirty deeds, and, you know, it's... They're trying to prove the media wrong, I feel, more than anything, which is like, I don't know. You know, you guys did this to yourselves, you know?
Yes.
Stop trying to pass the buck on to somebody else.
I would like to see this storyline, though. I'm all about the drama. I want that smoke. Dodgers-Astros rematch World Series.
I would like to see that, too.
And I want to see the Astros win every single game just because the Dodgers will not pitch to them and just keep hitting them.
Yeah, it would be a good brand. No, I mean, who wouldn't want that? It would be a great storyline.
Yeah. No, that would be a great storyline. Yeah. Again, there's too many sports going on. We're getting the second of a doubleheader in Monday Night Football right now.
Listen to us complain. Four months ago, we had no sports, and now we're like, there's too much.
You're right. I should just be grateful.
Soak it in. I'm sweating right now. That's how much I'm excited to how much sports is back. And also, the AC is off in here for some reason.
Yeah, why is it off? That was poor planning on our part, huh? We'll live with it.
But we're excited for the Braves. Up one, I mean, Derek's not, but we mean Braves.
Don't think Derek's going to get excited about the Dodgers winning in this shortened season either. Do you think you'll have any?
No, again, same thing. Yeah, it's just weird.
Fair enough. Derek's going to come in here
a couple weeks from now. Year Derek doesn't care, his franchise wins the World Series and the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I've known Derek for some time now, and his teams have never won a championship. They finally do, and he could care less. It is so odd to me.
But it is also so Derek.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That is true. Let's talk about something that would actually catch your interest. Does that sound good, Derek?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
39 was last year, and he could barely, like, throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
No!
Yeah, it's football, y'all. tough thing is, though, this week was international break, so you had all the teams vying for their World Cup positioning right now. And you know what? They did their thing. So I'm not going to talk about football anymore. I'm going to go on this rant right now, guys, because I went to a maze this past week, in a haunted maze over near Chico. And, always a shout to the haunted maze. Look, Halloween, always a fun time. You know, who doesn't love a good scary movie? Who doesn't love candy, you know? Candy and scares. Like, come on. It's a perfect combination.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to haunted mazes, granted,
am a near 30-year-old man, so this, I'm not going to get scared in a haunted maze the way that I wish I could, because I love that fear of walking through a maze of that fear. I know, obviously, I have the wherewithal, and I'm not stupid. Nothing is going to happen out to me. All those people in that haunted maze, quote-unquote, are just actors, and they're not real. I still like that ambiance. I still like that aesthetic of walking through a dark maze and someone popping out. Those jump scares, I appreciate them. What I don't appreciate is when you're in a haunted maze and you have to bring a light with you because you're too scared of the damn dark.
Oh.
Why are you in a maze then? And I will give this say. The place I went to, they encourage people to bring lights. Why are you encouraging people to ruin the ambiance of a scary maze? That's the whole point of a maze, to be scared. To have the lights gone out, darkness all around you, and the possibility, slim to none, that you might not leave that corn maze alive. That's what I want when I go to a corn maze. And no. What I get, it's pretty much going to the mall back when I was in middle school. Everyone just running around all... Again, that's good, clean family fun these days. You bring your kids there, bring some lights so you don't get too scared. But no, you just ruin the ambiance and it's no longer that greatness that what corn maze could be. Also, to the people out there that, especially if you're grown, I'm going to say over 16 years of age because I get it from the young age right now... You're going to get scared. You know, certain things might tremble you. But if you're over the age of 16, you should have that wherewithal and know that this is, you're just going to get jump scared. That's all you're looking for. But when I see some guys out there, in particular guys, girls too, you should have, you know, gender equality over here, y'all. Your screams are just as ear piercing and annoying as guys too. Even more so. But when they're guys out there and they're having the light on, trying to film themselves around this maze and screaming their head off, because they're trying to be quote-unquote scared, just realize you deserve to have that thing between your legs cut off because you don't deserve it anymore because you're screaming like that. Seriously. Stop with this ear-piercing screaming like that. It's not necessary. You're not going to die. If death was on the horizon for you, then yes, scream away. But it's not. Instead, you just look like a fool. Enjoy the corn maze. I'm all for them. They're great. Pumpkin patches, fantastic. All for the season. But I just wish, there was one maze out there that didn't put up with all that hubbaloo of stupidity, foolishness, and downright childish acts. I want a legit corn maze with legit scaring, with, again, legit small, slim to none possibility, but still there, of me not leaving that corn maze alive. Or at least being stuck in that corn maze for quite some time because it is a legit maze. I appreciate that. That's what I want in my move, in my horror time, my Halloween time. If you're going to do it, go full board. Don't half-ass it. Also, Country Pumpkin, nice little space, though. If you're looking for something to do with the family, take them there. Country Patch, pumpkin patches are good, clean, family, fun. They should give me something free for that, man. That
right?
Was, yeah. Other than the fact that I just kind of crapped on their haunted maze.
Well, the kids in the haunted maze.
Yeah, kids in the haunted maze.
You love the haunted maze.
I love the haunted maze.
Just not the kids in it with the lights.
They ruin the ambiance. The idea, the spectacle that is a haunted maze or a haunted house, either or. If you're in a haunted situation, maze, house, whatever, darkness is a must.
It is.
It's like, if you don't have darkness, like, you know what, why don't we just circle jerk it right now, okay? No.
What? I
didn't follow you on that one. Go Tottenham.
So, yes, haunted mazes, y'all. Respect them. Love them. And put your damn lights out.
All right.
That's foot and mouth, guys.
All right. Well, that was basically just an extended grinds my gears. So let's do another one.
You know what really grinds my gears?
People with bad grocery store etiquette. If you're going down the aisle, bring your shopping cart over with you. Don't leave it in the middle so I have to go around you. Or even worse, I have to wait for you. Also, browsers. What's there to browse? Did you not go there with the intent of things to buy? There's this thing called a grocery or a shopping list. I suggest you create one for yourself. That way, you don't have to browse down the aisles, taking your time, just looking from side to side what's on the aisle. You know what's on the aisle. You know what you went there for. Just get what you need to get and get out of the way.
I like it. Respect the grocery stores, y'all.
Do you have one?
I do.
All right, let's do it.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Mini-size candy. What are you doing? How dare you? If you ever present to me a mini-sized candy bar, I will throw it in your face because that is a worthless piece of junk right there. And you're going to say, Derek, it's candy. How the-? No. The smallest a piece of candy should ever come in is fun size. Fun size is the smallest you should ever get. Mini size. Are you kidding me? It's a tiny little bite. No, not worth it. Give me a fun size or none at all. I'm talking, you trick-or-treaters out there, you know what I'm talking about. You go to the door and they give you mini size, that house is getting egg later, okay? So do yourself a favor, out the people out there. You just buy a bag of minis, return them. Or no, keep them to yourself. That's what I'm going to say. Don't you dare hand those out. Fun size or bust. I mean, obviously, go bigger is better. But fun size is small, you can go.
All right, I appreciate it. We got to get out of here. Make sure you download, rate, review, subscribe to the pod. We will be back this week after taking a bit of a hiatus. We are back. So make sure you do that. Follow us, TBP, Not a Game, on Instagram. Other than that, it's been real, y'all.
Game over, man.